sexy truck driver voice this time.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Episode 624. It's not COVID, okay? It's not. It's not the flu, but my God. Suze is not up to par. I have what doctors refer to as being under the weather.
Well, hey, that could be an accurate description based on what we were talking about earlier. You said one of the worst parts is not being able to get out in the sunshine.
So. I know. I was saying to Sarah how, like, in Pittsburgh, you wait 6 months for the sun to come out. And then as soon as the sun came out, I was stricken. You know what was funny? Not funny at all, actually. For 4 days, I could not hear out of one of my ears.
Stop it.
True.
Stop.
For 4 days.
I would think I was going crazy.
It was so, I felt like I was underwater. And then, you know, eventually I could hear again. And I felt like one of those babies that got the cochlear implant.
Oh my God.
They record them, like, hearing for the first time.
You should have tried hydrogen peroxide.
And then they light up and they're so happy, but then they're kind of scared at the same time.
Suze.
And then they recoil.
Oh, it was, like, too much? Like, overstimulation?
Yes. I kept saying, Adam, please, you're hurting my ears.
Oh, my God.
It was ridiculous.
How did it did it do it on its own?
Yeah. It just eventually cleared.
Oh. That gives me feelings.
Really?
Well, yeah, like heebie-jeebie kind of things, because it's like...
Why?
Because, like, it's inflammation. Like, there's only a few things that could be. It's, like, plugged up because of, like...
Yeah, mucus or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes... And then it's, like, I don't know, just...
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. It feels, like, torturous. Like having an ear plugged up is misery. When you, like, you can hear out of it, but then you can't hear out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it.
No.
0 out of 10, would not recommend. Okay? Everybody? But I am thankful that...
Are you just, like, getting freaking crazy on cough syrup or what?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Because I was telling Sarah I'm trying to write comedy bits, and I think things are funny that aren't.
No, they're funny.
I don't have a good, like, gauge of reality right now. So this is going to be a fun episode.
Yeah, I was like, that sounds like fun.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Did you watch the ridiculous Netflix documentary series Keep Sweet?
Was this about Warren Jeff?
Yes, the Mormon cult.
I didn't watch that one because I watched like 5 documentaries on this years ago.
That's what I saw. Somebody said like there are just so
many.
Do we really need another one?
Yeah, and like I don't want to hear that same. Not my favorite subject matter.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I was glad to watch it, though, because I hadn't seen any footage. I had read the news, of course, about all the polygamous cult and then when he went to jail and all that. But I had never seen footage. And it really did illustrate why documentaries are so powerful, because hearing, you know, victims tell their story and then seeing the footage of, you know, them living their lives, it does change it, I mean, I don't know, it makes it more potent or more real.
Yeah.
And you know, seeing the people that escaped and that now have quote unquote normal lives and how it feels for them. My God, it is unbelievable what they went through.
Yeah. What was there, what was the footage mostly from? Just
there, I don't know how they got it, but there was just tons of day-to-day footage of all of the activities that they did and the singing and the weird songs and the lyrics about, like, the reason it's called Keep Sweet is because that was what they kept telling all the women
Yes. Oh, my God. I could hear it. And he would play it over the loudspeaker.
It's almost like a hypnotic thing, you know?
That is so freaky. Yeah, okay. And when I he gives me, just gross feelings, obviously.
Ooh, totally.
Yeah. And I feel like when you look at his eyes and all the footage, it looks the same to me as what's his name from The Jinx.
Yes.
What's that guy's name?
Robert Durst.
Robert Durst. Look at their freaking eyeballs and tell
when
me
you called him Fred
that's
Durst.
Not the eyes of fucking darkness. Sorry.
Can we reflect on when you called him Fred Durst that one time? Not unlike when you called Ted Bundy Al Bundy.
Listen, I'm my mother's daughter, okay? Okay.
This is so funny to me. This is probably the cop serum.
Wait, but, and what was the other one? There was, oh no, it was Ted Bundy, Al Bundy. Yes, yes, gosh.
So by the time this comes out.
I was thinking about Zac Efron and he played Ted Bundy.
By the time this comes out, we will have announced our new spinoff series called Things We Got Wrong. I cannot wait till we get to that episode.
Oh my gosh, that is going to be so good.
Ted Bundy, Al Bundy, a friend. Okay, anyway, yes, you're so right. When you look in his beady little gross eyes,
beady,
you see
they're
the face of evil.
Black.
Mm-hmm.
Susie, you got me all riled up. I was feeling very chill at the beginning of this.
Oh,
and
no.
Now I'm like, I am, woo!
You know, the most chilling thing from it was a audio recording of the guy, Warren Jeffs, with his 12-year-old bride.
Oh, fuck.
Telling her what she needed to do physically.
Ugh.
And
God, Sus.
I'm so thankful that that recording exists, though, so that it could be he could be prosecuted adequately. Because oh my God, too much.
Oh, gosh. It's gross in every way. those poor girls. Like, it's brainwashing.
What's bonkers, though, Sarah, is that that cult still exists, and even while he's in jail. He's still running the show. And those dum-dums don't leave. I shouldn't say that because they are manipulated, but
yeah. Oh,
come on, people.
Right. I can never understand when you know, the chill, like, it goes two generations and, like, you can't say, okay, well, maybe I wasn't able to do this for me, but I could never subject a child, like, my child to that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They thought that Warren's dad, whatever his name was, they thought he was like the final prophet. And then when he kicked the bucket and he had 65 wives.
Oh my God.
Right? Of all ages, you know?
Oh God.
Yeah. Those young ones, they were like coming up with ways to like not have to deal with him in the night.
Of course they were. Poor things.
Can you imagine? Ugh.
I can't. It's awful. Oh.
Any hoodles.
Man, they like it feels like I don't know if it's like Netflix releases things in this is exactly what we talked about many, many episodes ago. So the thing that it really draws people in is a little bit of novelty and a little bit of new.
Mm-hmm.
Like
you mean novelty and familiarity?
Novelty and familiarity. Yes. Thank you. And I was like, no, what's the one from before? And it feels like Netflix releases, or like all these streaming services, release documentaries like by theme. So we're like heavy in the religion documentary.
Yeah, Mormons are having a moment, and it's
a moment.
They're probably so mad about it. I mean, for real, because it's not good news. Like, I was reading about Under the Banner of Heaven.
Yes.
Based on the book. And that one is not flattering either.
Right.
They are probably so pissed.
Come on. Yeah.
Hashtag not all Mormons.
Right. Of course. Oh man.
And I did a tweet, and I knew that I shouldn't, because it was the cough syrup, but I could not help but, like, they said that in the Keep Sweet how there was like a manual and these ladies had to all wear their hair in that weird style.
Ugh.
And it is so unattractive. And I just want to know why Jesus would want them to do that.
I feel like this is one of those, like, doesn't it feel like a dated hairstyle?
Oh, yeah.
Like a million years ago. Okay. So what I feel like happened is, one of these guys got fixated on like some chick who like
in like 1890
wouldn't give it up and was like, you know how they do that, like that, like the murderers all will murder like the one all blonde yes. hair with the, you know,
it's like yeah they get the anyone type. That looks like the woman that
yes
they are mad
like,
about
wronged them. And I feel like that maybe happened here. And he's like, no, now you have to make your hair like that for forever. And like, he's just like, ugh, marrying the same woman over and over and over. Cause they all look the fucking same.
But I want to know why they think that Jesus is like, this is the hairstyle for you. It makes no sense. No. But speaking of hair, ugh. How great is Kitsch and that satin pillowcase situation?
Okay. That is my trick. For the curly hair.
Right. We'll see. Okay. You guys know I'm on the hair journey, as the influencers say.
Yes.
Because of the incident.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. a third of my hair, as Sarah said. Yeah. But Kitsch is so awesome because they have all these products that will help protect your hair and keep it healthy. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Satin pillowcases.
Yes. And let me tell you. I am I've been a longtime user of satin pillowcases. There's a difference.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, I have the old and new.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Silky silk.
Yeah, big difference.
Well, and now, you know how I use hot rollers, but they damage your hair, so I can't use them anymore. So I got their heatless satin curling rollers.
Oh, cool.
No more heat damage.
Heck yeah.
But still get the volume and the real cute curl.
Yes.
I'm so impressed with it.
Me too.
Because I always thought they wouldn't work. I was like, you need the heat. You don't need the heat, baby.
You don't need the heat, baby.
Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/braincandy. That's right. 30% off of anything and everything at mykitsch. It's spelled mykitsch.com/braincandy. One more time, mykitsch.com/braincandy. For 30% off your order. What do you think about crop circles?
Ooh, excellent question. I'm, I go back and forth.
Really?
I mean,
you do love an alien story.
I love an alien story. Fuck. I mean, how do they do it?
Well,
I know, like, I've seen the big, pieces of wood. Like, I've seen the wood that
Yeah.
That. But
yeah.
I do not.
You're not buying it.
Some of the geometric patterns, like, you can't do like that.
Really? You think so?
I don't know. NASA just said, the freaking, who flies in the sky? Help. Air Force.
Astronauts?
Who are the people?
Is this a trick question?
It did sound like a riddle. Fair.
You said help.
Yeah. The Air Force or whoever just like came out with, I'll just say the military, came out with.
They were like basically aliens are real.
Yeah. So like.
Yeah, I do think that is true.
I just don't think they're made in the way that we think. Like maybe it's like a pulse or like a. You know, sound does crazy shit, and sound that you can't even hear. We talked about this.
That's
true. Infrasound.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the New York Times did a piece about these two guys in England that are pranksters, and they admit to having done at least the ones in England. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, have the, as you said, the wood plank, and it's attached to like a rope, and they use the plank to flatten the wheat or corn.
Is everybody going to think I'm a dummy for thinking these?
No, because in the article, they're interviewing all these people who still are like, it doesn't explain the whole thing. Like, there's still lots of examples that nobody has taken credit or blame for.
Yeah.
And there's these other things, like they'll say, when you measure, like, radioactivity, I think.
Yeah.
At the sites, that it's like higher
okay.
levels of certain things.
Come on.
Things. So
thank you.
There are lots of people who are still like, this is incomplete, this explanation.
Yes.
So I don't doubt that there are these pranksters and stuff, mm-hmm. and that could be all of them. But there's plenty of people who think there's more to the story.
Yeah. Okay, good. Are those plenty of people the kind of people that would wear tinfoil hats?
I'm sure there's a lot of those, but I think... Okay.
Like to not fall into that category if we could.
I think the problem with the people they talk to in the article is that these, I don't know, self-proclaimed experts make a lot of money off of saying that it's unexplained and, you know, they do speaking engagements and things. So they're not exactly reliable either because their income hinges upon...
Oh, on them being unexplained.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I think that experts or like scholars would just say, yeah, these are people doing it. But
I need to Google crop circle real quick.
Yeah, Google it. And
you
can look at the one in the New York Times because I don't understand those higher readings of radioactivity or whatever those.
Yeah. See, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I remember as a kid watching Unsolved Mysteries.
I'm looking at a lot of these and I'm like, fake, 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 fake.
Meaning like pranksters.
Definitely fake.
Uh-oh.
That one doesn't look fake.
How do you decide?
Because how intricate it is and how much it looks like a human shape, like a more... There are... If it looks like sacred geometry, like the mathematical...
Mm-hmm.
Like things.
Yeah.
Then it feels more like this fake that, and it doesn't even look symmetrical. Yeah. But if it just looks like somebody put a Star Trek logo on the fucking ground, I'm like, I don't know. These all look fake to me. The crop circles aren't real. This is silly.
Okay, good. So I tend
these are fake. What? Tell me one of the none of these look like they all look like they could be created with wood planks. Yeah, I take back my – I don't know what I had in my head. I think the last time – I was very scared of aliens for a very long time. Here's why. There was an earthquake that happened in Northridge when I was about 8 years old. And I at that time was watching a lot of The X-Files. It was my favorite show. And I always equated shaking and the lights flickering to aliens attacking. So when we had the earthquake and my dad grabbed me out of bed because I didn't wake up and the lights were flickering and the earth was shaking, I was like, aliens are here!
It's go time.
That was so frightening to me. So I still – and then the movie Signs really fucking got to me. And then – I think it's called Signs with aliens.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I am fearful in a not logical way. And so I think I've avoided anything crop circle related for many years because
it freaks you out.
It freaks me out. Like I want to believe, but I don't want to see. So now looking at these, fake. This is silly. 12-year-old me believed this, but.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. It's a lot of fun to have a mystery.
This is ridiculous. And to think. Anybody with half a brain can look at these and say that's. Who believes this?
We've really made a lot of progress here. I mean, my God.
All of it. A yin yang.
I was trying to be nice about it.
Who put, and then, come on.
I'm
that looks
I
like the Death Star. And if you could do that, then you could do all the other ones. There's no way alien life was like, oh, I know. I'm going to do a recreation of Darth Vader's ship.
That's fucking Millennium stupid. Falcon. Well, yeah. I think I tend to believe in, you know, Occam's razor, like that
most answers.
Usually the most obvious answer is the answer. But I think it's often the case of like that sunken cost fallacy where once people sort of invest in a belief,
yes,
it is very difficult to convince them to turn the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they interviewed this conspiracy theory professor and he said that the problem with conspiracy theories is that they're self-sealing. So like whatever happens, right. They say, oh, that proves it. You know, on either end, like it's just this thing that you can't get out of.
Uh-huh.
And people feel like they've lost control. And instead of admitting that we live in a world where we can't control things, they take comfort from believing they have agency and they can blame someone, like, you know, the mass shooting is actually actors or 5G is causing COVID.
Yeah.
But, you know. It's right. Just that we live in a world that's fucked up.
Yep. Yep. And what was the documentary about the flat earthers? Something.
Oh, yeah.
That was so good. In that, they were saying that conspiracy theorists think from Z to A rather than thinking from A to Z.
Exactly.
And
it's confirmation bias.
A whole bunch of the middle with whatever bullshit you want.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it is with my mom. I knew I wasn't going to get anywhere when she said we have different facts.
But do we have different definitions of the term facts?
Right. One thing I think we can all agree on, though, is that it would probably be a good thing to talk to a therapist, and BetterHelp can help you find one. It is an online therapy service that can get you in touch with a person to talk to, whether you're dealing with relationship stuff or grief or stress, like everybody. You can chat online, video, phone, whatever. You don't have to be on camera if you don't want to. And you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Brain Candy listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/BrainCandy. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BrainCandy. I mean,
everybody needs somebody to talk to.
Somebody. Yeah.
Probably about, you know who does? Conspiracy theorists.
That is for damn sure.
If they only had a therapist.
Well, remember when you watched that Flat Earth thing, a lot of it seemed to hinge on them just really wanting a community.
Yes, correct.
Rather than whether the Earth was flat.
You know what? In a weird, okay. This is the difference. You know how I say you want therapist Sarah or friend Sarah?
Friend Sarah, yeah.
Therapist Sarah would say if he found community with crop circle enthusiasts, you do you. And you so much fun with that. And that
you're
is
not
a protective
anybody.
Factor, and that's a wonderful reason to – that's a passion, and we would totally lean into that if that's what they were into.
Yeah.
There you go. Live your life.
Yeah.
If
you're not hurting
crop
anybody,
those circles.
You do what
circle
you
those
want.
Crops or whatever.
Crop
you do.
Them. Crop them.
Crop them.
And then, contrastly, I read an article. I think it was also in the New York Times, but I'm not positive. It was about this group of women they call themselves the Hermets. And they really just don't want to be around people.
Yeah. I get that.
And they enjoy the company of women who don't enjoy the company of anyone else. And they,
this sounds like my mom and a lot of her friends.
Yes. And
this is everybody in Costa Rica.
You know, I think we often think of hermits or recluses as like people who, like the Unabomber, who live in this shed in the woods. But these gals, they live in New York. They like to be in the city. They like to be around people. But they don't want to be like interacting all the time, and they like to be alone a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah. Well, and I, yes.
It was emphasizing like not everyone who is alone is lonely.
For sure. And also define being alone, because like they're alone together, right? So like one of my favorite things is like being with somebody that where you can be in a room together or like in a house together and not talk to each other, but just know the other person's there.
And one of my favorite things is going to have lunch alone at a bar or a restaurant. I love it. It's so fun. It's peaceful, but you still around other humans.
Yeah. Reading at the bar.
Mm-hmm. Some people don't like that at all, but I find it so nice. Yeah. It's probably my favorite thing.
Yeah.
But I think they were kind of pointing out how men that do this or go off on their own are a little bit more typical and maybe accepted. But when women do it, it's seen as like, why don't you want a partner? Why don't you want kids?
Yeah.
And they're just like, I just don't.
I get them. It. And, you know, what was the movie that won for Best Actress? Frances McDormand.
Dormant.
She was a Nomad, maybe? Was it called?
I didn't see it.
Oh, but so I think Susie, it may have you should been. See that.
What's it about?
This.
She just wanted to be alone.
Well, it's sort of.
What? You don't want to spoil it or what?
Oh, I don't want to spoil it, but there's nothing to spoil because it's like more of just like a, I don't even know what you call these.
Oh, she was so Nomad. She was like traveling.
Yeah, but kind of like because of economic situations as it is right now, like doesn't have the, like, you know, can't like live anywhere. So it was like living out in the middle of a commune in the middle of the desert. I'm doing a terrible job explaining this movie, but it's good.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
I mean,
I won't watch it.
Best picture.
Okay. Moving on. Did you see the weird sort of situation on Twitter? I think it was originally on Reddit and then it migrated to Twitter about how Swedish people don't feed their guests.
Oh, was this the wedding?
No, it was just like if you have someone over at your house and it's time for dinner, you just like make them sit alone in a room while you go.
No.
Eat. Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like it goes against every.
Right. Social norm.
Social.
Globally.
You can't stop me from feeding you if you come in the house.
You know how there's like certain things that are supposedly universal, like smiling. And
yeah. What the heck is up there?
I thought hospitality was a human, innate, global, universal. But so this was, you know, somebody said it online and then everyone started weighing in. And Swedish people were like, yeah, it's like not a big deal.
Stop it.
Yes.
Why? How did this become? And the other people are just fine with it? Is this like a, this is the most passive aggressive thing, like cultural norm I've ever heard of.
Yeah, and they were trying to make sense of it, being like, well, you know, we really believe in independence and, like, not infringing on other families, so, like, we let them do their own thing.
Who's dictating this? The people sitting in the other room? Okay, here's my question. Whoa. Mm-hmm. My head is thinking about this in the other direction, I think. Is this the people making dinner being like, you can't have any?
Yeah.
Or are these the guests being so polite that they're like,
no,
we cannot interrupt your dinner?
No. It's the host.
No!
Yes.
It's the bad one?
Yeah, because
I was giving him a little leniency there.
The example that was given was like when you're at a friend's house when you're a kid and you're playing And then the mom calls the one kid, the son, and says, time for dinner. Mm-hmm. And then he goes and eats dinner. And then the guest sits there and keeps playing because he's not invited to the table. And this is how they do it. And it's normal.
Nope. Normal to whom?
Right. Just Swedes. What
That's
the fuck?
Cuckoo crazy. Could you imagine
no.
child coming over to your house and you being like, little Jimmy, we're having pizza. You can have none.
That's like not letting your guests use the toilet.
That's
like,
insane.
It's a basic human need.
Yeah, eating. And it's a way to, it's so much more. It's like.
It's so obvious. I don't know. It's makes no sense.
Are we, what's happening here? Are we not seeing something?
No, because the explanations that were given were inadequate, in my opinion. They were like, well, you know, we're an, agricultural society.
What?
And everybody is supposed to, you know, like historically, we okay. all, you know, self-sufficient. So we all grew our own produce and whatever.
Everybody in Sweden, we're like, how much food they're throwing out a year?
Exactly.
Come on.
This reminds me of, like, anytime there's something weird in the Bible, a pastor will be like, well, in the original Hebrew, and then they'll do all these gymnastics to try to, like, right. make it make sense when it absolutely does not.
Right.
It's like they're doing that, where they're like, oh, yes, 3,000 years ago, yeah, one guy did this
on.
Thing. It's like, maybe you should just feed your guests and stop being fucking weirdos.
Yeah. For goodness sakes, with all those meatballs.
Right? I got to ask Christian because, I mean, I know he's Norwegian, but, like, I feel like he might know. Because when Christian from Road Rules came to stay at my house, when I picked him up at the airport, he was telling me how he couldn't believe that I offered to let him stay at my house while he was going to be in town. Because in Norway, like, jeez. They don't do that.
Everybody's so...
Yeah.
Well, you know what? No wonder they rank high in happiness. They don't have to do shit for anybody else.
I guess so.
But that goes against hang on. The five things that lead to happiness.
Right.
One of them includes kind acts towards others. How the fuck are these people the happiest?
I guess it turns out it's just social services. That make you happy, having your government actually care about you. I'll tell you who I feel cares about me, and that's the people at Noom.
Yes, there you go. Well, help you achieve your goals. Huh.
That's all I want out of life. I am obsessed with goals, and I think that's why Noom and I are soulmates, because Noom is a psychology-based approach that helps you adapt your lifestyle to whatever goals you want to do. If you want to improve in a certain way, they can help you do that. Mm-hmm. They send you, you know, ideas and scientific stuff to show you how to kind of like change your brain, which we talk about a lot with that book, Power of Habit. I love a good habit. You know how I feel about flossing. So cognitive behavioral approach for me is the most effective way to get me to change. So that's why I love Noom, and I know you will too. Start building better habits for healthier, long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/braincandy. That's Noom.com/braincandy. Give it a whirl. You got goals,
man.
Don't you, people?
Drink some more water.
Anyway, if you're Swedish and you're listening, can you please help me?
Yeah.
Because
WTF.
You got to explain this. It makes no sense.
No sense. Give me one other country that does that. One other.
I don't think
culture.
There is one.
If
I
that
really
isn't,
don't.
If there isn't, yeah, come on.
Well, white people are weird. I think we know this.
Very weird.
Because in black and brown cultures, mm-hmm. like food is love.
Come on.
It's a beautiful thing. White people lean more towards like. Being idiots.
Yeah, that's true. All the time.
And the Swedish people are extra white.
This is true.
That's all I know.
There you go. Hop, skip, and jump to that conclusion.
Right. That's science, everyone.
There you go. Facts.
Okay. Facts. Moving on. I think it was Jessica.
They got a whole bunch of freaking, what are they called? Saunas that are... No, maybe that's Finland. Finland has all the saunas.
They probably do, too. They seem like they would be
rolling
to that.
Yeah, it's like... Come on. I was in Norway and they were, nobody let me into their house, but.
Yeah, well, right. You know what? See? They're fun though.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. They did not like us when, you know, but nobody likes us when we go out. And
how do you know? What was it like?
Oh, because Jenna and Nani were dancing on the bar. And they were looking at us like, are you out of your goddamn minds? Then there was another thing about smiling. They were like, you guys all smile at us all the time. And like nobody's like smiling all the time like we did.
I mean, I you had me with the bar thing. I mean, that is weird.
Oh, yeah.
I always felt so embarrassed.
Was looking at them like that. Like, do you understand we are in another – you think this is a good idea? Oh, for fuck's sake. Just – earning America's reputation.
I really don't like that. I always felt embarrassed when we would go out with people from the show.
The most. I've never heard more inappropriate things shouted in places where you should be respectful than these clowns.
I hate it.
Tell me, I mean, like, if anybody thinks I'm being harsh, I'm sorry. They're grown adults. I'll never forget when we were in the airport in South Africa and there was a jewelry store and Zach points and screams as he's in American flag swim trunks and like glasses with a bandana around his head, like looking like that.
A stereotype.
And he points and screams, look, blood diamonds.
Oh my God.
I was like, kill me now. Get me the fuck away from these idiots. I can't take it. This
I
is
love when I, you I'm, do that.
What?
Like when you'll be like, you'll like raise your an octave. These idiots.
Because I can't. Like, I have to go. My mind goes to another place and my voice has to follow, clearly.
Oh, I hear you. What the actual fuck? It's terrible. It's so embarrassing.
I'm like associated with that.
Oh. It's gross. Let's not talk about it. Okay. Okay. Moving on. The Anthony Bourdain documentary is on HBO now.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it took forever to come to streaming for free. And I finally watched it. And I remember how we talked about how they used AI to make the narration in his voice. And unlike the Andy Warhol version, which was using his exact words that he had written, they, you know, wrote the script. And I didn't love that. So I tried to, like, put the narration out of my mind and just watch, like, the interviews and then the other footage. And I was really glad I watched it. It was interesting. He was far less likable than I would have predicted. Because, you know, people worship that guy.
Yeah.
He has such a mystique, you know. People really love him. And there's a lot of things to love about him. And he was sort of this imperfect ambassador of open-mindedness, I guess you would say. You know, he would travel the world and really hear people and listen to them and respect them, even if their lives were very different. Like, he probably wouldn't say what we said about Swedish people.
Probably not. Yes, he was
different strokes.
Yeah.
But the end of the film was very difficult, of course, because of how his life ended. And, I mean, they essentially blamed the gal he was seeing.
No.
Yeah. And sort of her influence on him. And then she was caught by the paparazzi with another man. And that was the day before he did it.
Okay, but that's not fair to say that somebody can cause a person to do that. Unless they're like really...
I know. I had the same feeling. Because this is a guy who struggled with addiction and mental illness for a very long time.
Nobody can make anybody kill themselves. Unless it's like that one situation the woman went to jail for.
True. I think that they would probably argue that they were just saying that this was the impetus or the straw that broke the camel's back.
Okay. That is, but like.
And it probably was.
Yes, yes.
And she, they left out an important part of the story too. Because they showed her at Cannes when she said on stage, I was raped by Harvey Weinstein here at Cannes however many years ago. And then they showed how Anthony became like a Me Too warrior and advocate for women. They did not mention how his girlfriend was later accused by a boy of being a predator.
Oh.
And how Anthony paid off the boy.
Oh, my God.
That happened, and I did not include that. I think that part, it matters, though, because I think he started to realize that he had been duped by her. Isn't that crazy?
Jeezy, crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's so disturbing.
It is disturbing. That makes me feel like, I don't know.
Like he kind of got whipped up into her tornado of chaos.
And it's that combination of somebody. It's like the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
He's the, you know, the kindling was already there and she was the spark.
Yeah. And I think it is fair, but I mean, that like I said, the whole story was not shown. And so that felt weird to me. I was like, wonder why they didn't. Maybe because that made him look bad that he paid off that guy. I don't know. It's a complicated story, but he's a complicated man. And we all are, really.
Interesting. I don't know if I, like, is it worth watching?
I think if you really liked him or the message of, like, food and travel as a way to connect human beings, it is. But otherwise, it just sort of felt a little tabloidy.
That's what I feel like it's going to feel
the
like.
The end especially.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was really waiting for it because he has this reputation as being so influential in this world. And you can see he's so self-absorbed, though. That's why I say he didn't come off as likable as I thought he would.
Yeah, a lot of those chef kind of guys are like that.
Yes.
And he's a TV chef. They're like, they have to be.
Double whammy. Mm-hmm.
They're like that.
Yeah.
It comes with it. It's the flip side to the coin of being charismatic and, you know, charismatic and manipulative. Or
yeah, right.
Not like siblings. He was. I'm just saying, like, for people who are narcissists. But like.
When he had a little daughter
that
he left behind.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's just like, dude, that hurts.
Yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Any hoodles.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else did I want to talk to you about?
I will say, I went to one of the restaurants that he recommended when I was in Russia.
Yeah?
It was the worst meal I ever had in my fucking life. But you know, the problem, or I don't know if you want to call it problem, whatever, the issue could have been that it's a seasonal, like, farm to table restaurant. And so he was having a different meal than I was.
Okay.
But I had foie gras ice cream, like Or okay. Like pate ice cream or something like that. I think it was foie gras ice cream. No, pate ice cream.
Yeah, because foie gras is like bad
that's
news.
Frogs.
It's the thing where they like force feed baby calves.
Yeah.
And it's like illegal in certain places.
Yeah.
You had that?
One of the
foie gras?
That, or it was, no, it was probably duck. It was probably liver. It was probably like pate, like that. Isn't that what it is? Like pate. I'm saying all the wrong things. I always get those two. I don't know why I get them mixed up. Now I know what it is in my mind,
well,
but now I can't figure out which.
Is liver also.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh, see, it says it's of a duck or a goose.
Yes, that
but
one.
But they force feed them. And so a lot of people feel like it's cruel and unethical because it's like painful. You ate that. In an ice cream? What the fuck?
In an ice cream form.
Sarah.
It was like moosed up and then frozen.
That
and
is
then
disgusting.
With a little, it was. So, and look, I am an adventurous eater. I love all things. This was bland. It was all
bland.
One color. It was one. It was all taupe with like a sprig of green. And
of
maybe
all
a
the critiques, I did
onion.
Not think you were going to say it was just bland.
It was bland. It was like everything in the meal tasted.
Sarah had cruel liver ice cream, and then her critique was that it was bland.
Well, like, the whole meal, like, everything tasted the same. Like, it was just
oh, I see.
Like, throughout the whole meal, and no fun flavors dancing on your tongue or anything like that in Russia in the middle of, I don't know, December or whenever I was there. Not December, that would have been freezing, like, but still, cold times. Anyways, so Anthony Bourdain, not such a good recommendation.
Well, I mean, I do know that he liked weird, quote unquote, weird foods and wanted people to be adventurous and stuff. But if it's the worst meal you've ever had in your life,
it really was.
That is not great.
It 100% was. I was like,
Okay.
You don't think of like traditional Russian food and think, yum.
Yeah, right. They're not known for their cuisine. Their vodka. Yeah.
Yeah, because they need to be drunk to enjoy that kind of food.
Right. They got to kill the taste buds.
Yeah.
Okay, there is a documentary I watched on Amazon Prime that's called Most Likely to Succeed.
Oh, tell me more.
Okay, it's old, but it was also, I'm talking like 2001.
Okay.
Old. And it was filmed over 10 years, which I always love.
Mm-hmm.
I love longitudinal studies and longitudinal films because they wanted to look at, I think they did maybe 4 or 5 students who got most likely to succeed in high school.
Oh my goodness. Tell me more.
Yeah. And then 10 years later and all along the 10 years, see how that path went and then where they ended up. And it is so great because what you see is that I think there's this mythology that people like to imagine that America is a meritocracy, that if you just work hard and you have talent and whatever, you're bright, you're going to be fine. You're going to make it. And that turns a blind eye to obstacles that people that are in poverty or people that experience racism and stuff like that have, and how they have a farther way to go to get to the same place. And so, you know, essentially you watch as the white privileged people thrive and become like incredibly successful. And then people who have greater obstacles, they hang in there, but it is
they
a totally
obstacles.
Different road. Yeah. And they have to fight so much harder to get half as far.
Really interesting.
Yeah, I was really glad I watched it because you're really rooting. You're rooting for all of them because they're all nice. But you realize, like, even if it is a meritocracy and there are people like Oprah who grew up without running water in freaking Mississippi or whatever and then become a billionaire, that is almost impossible.
Yeah. For sure.
Now. but really ever. Mm-hmm. And so it's not an even playing field. I heard this analogy one time of, like, if you're in a classroom and in the very front of the classroom is like a garbage can, and each student gets like a crumpled up piece of paper, and you all have to shoot and try to get it into the trash can. If you're in the front row, you're more likely to get it in.
Gonna make that
and
shot.
If you're in the back row, you might still get it in, but it is way harder. And that's, you know, what life is like.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's a trick shot for that kid. And
it can happen. You could be Oprah.
For the other.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, it's really good. I mean, it's not, I always have to say, whenever anything's like more than, I don't know, 5 years old in
it's
the documentary.
It's a different kind of documentary.
Yeah. It looks different. Mm-hmm. Some of them aren't even HD. They're just shot different.
They're
edited different. Yeah. I don't mind it, but I think a lot of people are like, what is this? Is this some sort of school documentary? You know.
That's what documentaries looked like. It's the same thing. You're just, oh, for Pete's sake.
We've come a long way.
We have, but there's still good information back there.
You know what? Yeah. I mean, this is off topic, but just thinking about like the Britney Spears whole thing, how, you know, we've been doing the show for so long that I remember when you first brought up the Free Britney movement, and it was sort of this, it was a conspiracy theory, really.
It was.
And then it grew and it grew and it grew, and then there was these documentaries, and then now she's free, and then she just got married. I reflect on it a lot because I get annoyed with like the TikTok culture of these idiots who think they can watch a video and think they can solve a crime and stuff. But that is an example of how like crowdsourcing and can create a movement that really paid off.
Yep. And I'm thinking like, you know, I said a while back about documentaries, like, oh, I don't like ones that are kind of like still unraveling now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's good. Maybe we should do that to start bringing attention to things that are kind of fucked up.
Yeah, that's true. It can really mobilize people.
Yeah, it can mobilize people. And also have people come out of the shadows or out of the, you know, wherever and be like, oh, yeah, like me is me. I don't want to say me too, but like me too.
What?
Well, no, like, because everybody thinks about the Me Too movement, but in a way, like, yes, I, like, that things happen to them or, like, other victims come out or, like, more information comes out or you find somebody, like, Golden State Killer was always going to be the...
Oh, that's a great example, too.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, and Michelle McNamara, I mean, that was a labor of passion.
Yeah.
And... my God, that the price she paid was too high, of course, but
of course.
My God, I cannot believe they found that guy.
I know. So
I kind of thought there'd be way more people they were going to find, though, after that.
Oh, like more DNA. Murderers?
Yeah, sort of like not necessarily murderers, but like high-profile unsolved crimes.
How do you know they're not?
Well, I follow the news.
Yeah, and murderers.
I mean, you do hear of them, but I thought there would be just a ton.
Yeah.
And murderers, Sarah.
Well, you do.
That's true, I do.
It's accurate. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, because of the 23andMe and all that jazz.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's wind it down before I die.
Oh, Susie's going to, like, get drunk on cough syrup because it's the only thing keeping her alive.
Yep.
Aw.
But, you know, if you're into cults, you might want to watch Keep Sweet. It was informative.
Oh, it's like, and look at the eyes. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. Do you think he was born like that?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like what we say all the time. You know better than I do.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Nobody I'd have knows. To know what he was like when he was little.
Well, my guess is abused.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously. So it's one of those, but like...
it's like that book, What Happened to You?
Yep, it's totally that. Oh, God.
Remember when you changed your mind about crop circles?
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Okay, Yeah, I think the best thing about crop circles are probably like that. Now that I know that they're fake, tip of the hat to those people making them because those look great.
They're very circular.
Yeah, so good job, guys.
Good job.
Sarah. What?
That's the funniest thing. I just love it. Like how you keep saying they're fake.
They
I
are
like that
fake.
Word.
Like they're like not aliens they're not is real. What I mean. I know they're it. Real, but not created by aliens. They're created by some dudes with planks.
Stop being hilarious.
Why is that funny now?
I don't know. I feel like you're being extra funny.
I'm not meaning to. I'm being dead serious.
I can't take it. You guys, I'm not okay.
Oh, gosh.
Remember when Swedish people were fucking assholes?
Assholes. So passive aggressive.
Right.
That they like kick you out. Or, like, they don't even kick you out. It's worse than that. They just don't set you a place at the table and then sit down and start eating. Could you imagine?
I would sooner
die. It actually makes me uncomfortable to think
about
that. I know. I would feel I would feel so rejected. Oh, God. I'm revisiting it. Oh.
What was the ethnicity of Rose Nylund on Golden Girls? Was she Swedish? What was she?
No, she was Norwegian, I thought.
Was she?
We have to look that up.
Yeah. Because none of these are ringing a bell.
Was she?
What was the ethnicity of Rose Nylund? We'll find out.
Come on. Where is she?
Where is Rose Nylund from? Oh, they'll just say that fucking St. Olaf. Oh, Norwegian. She was.
Yeah.
It says Norwegian American. That's so funny. This fictional person.
That's great.
All right, foie gras, whatever. I gotta go because I'm gonna die.
Yeah. We'll see you later.
Next
leave
time
us a 5-star review. One for every cop.